I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk More Movies. Sure, we're trying to talk about movies, but never talk about anything and everything else. I'm your host, Michael Breslin. To my left is...
Oh, sorry.
It's Sean Claude. Where?
To my right.
Calm here.
What was so fascinating, Sean Claude?
Oh, no, I was just reading about the film I'm going to talk about later. So I was doing my homework. It wasn't being a cult.
Wow.
That's fine. Off and about.
You can be a cunt and do your homework.
Right? What would you rather me say? That I was sitting looking at fucking nonsense?
Is that what you're actually doing?
No, I wasn't actually looking. It's the last page I looked at.
Just watching
that. See? Paul Rudd's wee face. We'll come to that later. What do you say? Watching what?
Watching the dirt just.
Watching the blue movies.
Just thought you were Facebook scoping.
Just hitting everybody.
Just we random Facebook account just fucking doing pictures.
How do you know about that?
Because I can see your fucking phone.
How do you know about Archibald Dundee? My alter ego. He's muckers for everybody today, but somehow has never met one of them.
You get a few accounts like that air that is just
the bots.
Everybody seems to be friends with. He's like, who the fuck is this person? They have like two pictures.
I've had a few. Actually, for a while, me and... I always bring up Ruben, because they always say that me and Ruben should be best friends because we have so many mutual friends. But for a while, me and Ruben were like that. We had like fucking... 80 mutual friends or some shit like that there. Never spoke to him in my life.
Hey, Ruben doesn't actually exist. He's a bot.
He's just he's an idea. He's a way of thinking.
Because nobody's actually called Ruben. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. Ruben McNutt. Oh, I shouldn't have said his full name.
Address is...
Hey, man, me and my friend Shay, we were walking around my house one night, and she's all, is that Ruben? I said, no. And Shay turns to me and says, I've been called a lot of things, man, but Ruben ain't one of them. Became a line in a film later. We thought it was brilliant.
Danger bottle. I never actually realise how long that goes on for, because normally I talk over.
From now on, we have to let it linger. Don't start singing the song.
Yeah, Danger Bottle is every week we get a bottle of hooch. I always want to call it hooch, but I said it once before. It's like, I can't always call it hooch.
I love how Mikey has these really underwhelming goals that he has to tackle. I'm like, I've always wanted to say hooch in a sentence.
Hooch is a good word. It's a fun word to say.
It's a superb word. It really
is. It's a shit drink, though. You ever actually have
hooch? It's an uncle pup. It's one of the first lemonade drinks I ever had.
Oh, really? Mine was White Lightning found in like a forest.
Oh, Jesus.
It's probably piss, like.
Probably fucking some magic mushies don't put that. They soak up.
What is actual hooch, though? Moonshine, like?
I think so, yeah. I think it's just a general term for drink as well.
Alcohol, yeah.
The hooch.
The hooch. Or Hitch is Crazy from Scrubs.
In all fairness, mate, you said it. Hooch has a fucking exemplary word.
Yeah, it's great. It's so satisfying to say as well.
Hooch.
Hooch. Yeah. There is someone, you get a lot of purchase in that word.
Yeah.
Don't you?
A lot of purchase.
You get it back. The word that keeps on giving.
You get all the change back in that one. Like. Right.
You have them a tenner, you get a tenner back and change them.
I've done that trick before. So we get a bottle of alcohol every week. And this week I've...
No, I was just going to say the weave, like, it looks like someone with the set of Flubber, like very Nutty Professor. I like this a lot. Test tubes and all this shit.
Well, yeah, I've changed it up slightly this week, but not really because I've still only bought one new bottle of stuff, so it's fine. Oh no, actually, I'm telling you,
This is sending alarm bells. Does this mean that we're going to be drinking stuff that we've previously had that's probably been lying here for weeks?
Oh yeah.
Oh, please don't tell me it's Topaz.
No, there's no Topaz.
Ah, thank Christ. The dreaded Topaz. Do you want to explain what Topaz is, just for if anyone's only started recently listening?
Topaz is holds the record for the worst danger bottle we've ever had. It's a vodka Scott. It's from Iceland. It's just black and dark and ruins your life.
Quentin Tarantino once said,
"It's the worst alcohol he's ever had."
Is this the sort of mentholy fucking one?
No, it's the one that tastes like salt water.
But we're not sure if it's Icelandic.
It's so salty and
mouthwash.
It's like it starts off as Listerine and then turns on to like fucking ocean water. It's just how they ever thought they could sell, how it's still going is beyond. I think now it's probably regardless being that bad that's the only thing keeping it going. It's almost like it's a rite of passage that you have to fucking tackle it. Like, horrendous stuff. Horrendous.
But yeah, this week my soon-to-be mother-in-law was in Norway.
Well.
And so she brought me back a present, which was 6 test tube shot glasses. I just resigned to the fact that I'm an alcoholic and just, well, there you go, work away.
She's happy enough to give her daughter to you.
Yeah. Sounds right, I heard her. But, but I was going to do a competition between Shan and Hearn, but Hearn is a bit worse for wear today. And he's not too up for the old Elky Hall.
The old hooch.
I've got a cup of coffee in front of me.
That speaks volumes.
So, Shan, me and you can do the shots, and you can try and guess what the shot is.
Obviously, anytime you go to take a shot, you have to build yourself up for what you're about to taste. Because I don't know, give me a sort of a gauge of how bad these are.
No. Oh,
are they three? Is there here. 6 different shots? Or
no, there's 3 different shots. Okay. There's 2 groupings. So here, do you want to video this shiz?
Oh, video is fucking nonsense.
Professional cameraman.
Right, so...
Okay. Oh, Jesus, nearly spilled one.
Did that turn it off?
No. I don't have... I don't know. Are you recording?
I am not yet.
There we go. Okay, so we're working from back into the middle.
Are we still doing question and answer? Or?
No, it's just what is the shot?
Okay.
What did you? It's not like a quiz.
You said earlier on that it was like a question and answer sort of thing.
No, the answer is what the shot is.
Right, okay, let's do this. Right, so me okay. First?
No, we'll do it at the same time, sure. So.
Oh, so these are going to be the same?
Yeah, there's 3 different kinds of shots. So it was supposed to be you and Heron guessing, but I know
did you
answer.
Know the answers?
Aye, so it's just right, you okay. Guessing. I'm just drinking shit.
Okay.
It's perfectly simple when you think
it's really not that complicated.
I'd have actually focused and concentrated. Yes, that's very simple.
Right, okay, actually. Right, so the first 2 are previous danger bottles, and the third one is a new danger bottle. So, okay, so see if you can figure out what this is, Charles.
Cheers. You have to neck it all or just take a wee sip.
Well, if you want to be a ball bag about it, like, you can just sip it.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. I feel I've had that before then.
Yeah, this is a previous day. Do I have to keep repeating the rules?
What'd you mean?
Right. Definitely wasn't joking, but he turned it into a joke.
Topsy-turvy that one.
You flip-flop
so
as
not to look a bit of a fool there.
Right, so I have to get... Do you know what? I have no... an idea. I don't know. I'm not good.
Describe
with
it to me, and I might be able to guess it. As
it
well.
Was fruity-ish. It actually tasted like that
fizzy.
Summer fruits thing.
Fizzy.
Is. Oh fuck.
Has that gone off?
No. Oh no, it has. Yeah. Sorry.
Was it that summer fruit stuff? That wine shit?
No.
Was it?
Hang on. I have it here. I'll just go get it.
Oh, my crafty bastard had it behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Do you want to take another go at it?
I'll never get it. Honestly, I'll never get it.
It's Cosmo in a can.
Hey, never in a million years would I get that.
I know. It's just I couldn't find like other things.
If you have one M laying about crafty for fucking ages.
No, I actually bought that as well. And I have a cramp in my leg.
Right, so this second one now?
Yeah, these ones now. Okay.
Right, okay. Cheers.
Here you go.
Cheers.
Clinky.
This one smells fucking hideous. This one smells bad.
What the fuck?
Why is that you got? Am I out of memory?
Probably.
I'll take a sip of this one first.
Thank you.
Oh, that's very butter.
Oh, that's very bitter.
It hasn't aged well.
Again, I don't have a fucking clue what that is.
I should have aged it in a fucking oak cask.
Oh, that's not nice at all.
Oh, that's fucking disgusting.
It's gonna pop.
No, I'm right. I'm right. I'm not taking the rest.
I know. Don't, I was going to say, don't be a hero. Just put it back in the toaster.
Jesus, Mickey, what is that? That definitely isn't ageable. What the fuck is it?
Take a guess. It's a recent danger bottle.
Spewing it.
Spewing it. I'm trying to even get it.
What the fuck is going on?
It's whiskey-ish. No?
Yeah.
Ah, was it that whiskey?
Is that whiskey thing?
Having a clue. It's not whiskey.
Oh, it is.
Whiskey mixed with other alcohol. I'm really bad at this game.
Shows that we don't drink.
Of course, Glaber.
Mickey, you have to understand. See, after we get danger bottles, I usually get really pushed on this podcast and cannot remember.
But you should be sober by the time we get the danger bottle.
I should be.
It's the first thing.
That's wishful thinking, in fairness.
There you go. Camera season.
Right, I'm sitting that one back then. Glaive's hideous.
Right.
Last
now,
one.
Right, this is a new one, okay? Oh, it looks awful in that test tube. It looks like brown things. Okay.
Looks like shit.
This
plastic bag.
This is a new one, okay? So you obviously won't know the name of this, but you need to try and guess the type of alcohol thing it is.
What's wrong with your fucking
phone? I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm not doing that.
You're doing a fucking time lapse, are you?
No.
Yeah. You were on time lapse.
Oh no.
We need to do all that over again now.
No, we definitely.
No. The rest of it was not. I don't know. It's just so sensitive, these little phones.
Just don't touch it after you press record. Okay.
Right, so this one?
This is new, so you won't know the name of it, but try and guess what kind of alcohol it is.
Cheers!
Okay. I haven't actually tasted this one yet either, so.
No, it's just stopping. Just fucking sack
it. Oh, it's very whiny. It's like off wine. It's like box wine. That's fucking shite.
It is all like off wine, isn't it?
What is it?
Or like bad Ribena.
No, it's
Ribena gone bad. Ribena after dark. What the fuck's that? That's really bad.
I'll show it to you. Hang on.
You don't seem to mind it that much.
I'm still a man.
I'm still a man. He says we've covered voice.
It is, I don't actually know how to pronounce this, Sanatogan? It's tonic wine.
Really?
Ooh. I was hoping it'd be like a bit like Buckfast.
Oddly enough, do you know what it kind of reminded me of? Not Buckfast whatsoever, which I think is one of the most underrated tastes in the alcohol market. But
the alcohol market.
It tastes like we got this really fucking bad rice wine years ago in a Chinese restaurant over in Spain, and it tastes exactly like that. Really fucking sweet.
Is that not the stuff Gio brought before? He brought like rice
pretty
wine?
Much, yeah. But that rice wine he brought was a lot more palatable. No, it was a lot more palatable than this. Oh, it's a lot better than that.
No, I ain't got grand. I'll drink the shit out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like it at all.
Well.
So, Sanatogan. Maybe not. Much that thingy.
Hey, mate. I think it was like 4 pounder.
It looks like it would definitely be a 4 pounder under one there. Like.
Beaver session beater, that one.
It's economy. Right, fuck that then. Sit that down. I'm not drinking the rest of it. No fancy.
Do you want to mix the two that you didn't drink?
Definitely not. 100% not. That Glaive, I didn't even drink it the first time. That's awful.
You sipped it.
I too hated it. It was scotch, wasn't it?
Aye. I had scotch, aye.
Did you do it on purpose? Because you knew I really wouldn't like it?
No, it was literally the only danger bottle I'd like.
You had enough compassion and humanity not to give it a Topaz.
I actually forgot the Topaz was up here, and then I already had them filled, so.
Thank Christ. Well.
Nah, you would have knew it was Topaz straight away.
Jet black of it.
You want a bit of mystery behind it, like, you know.
Mystery shot.
Okay, what have we watched this week, folks? I want to do a really quick one, just really quickly. Just like, just you won't even notice it.
Your podcast, Bill. Do what you want.
Now, I watched The Good Dinosaur this week, and I don't want to go too much into it, because I've been watching a lot of animation recently.
So you seem to be in a spit of animal animation recently. Like, it seems to be the only films you're watching.
Secret Life of Pets, and what was the
one? Zootopia.
Love me some animals.
Love them animals, man.
Gotta love them animals.
Actually, I'm not... Oh, I shouldn't be talking about this, but No, I watched the Woody Allen film last night as well. All the things about sex you're afraid to ask or whatever.
Is that one of your first Woody Allen films?
No, I've seen a few.
Is that the one that's voiced over by, what do you call him, from Frasier?
No. It's just, but it's just like seven kind of short films, but yeah. one of them is Gene Wilder falling in love with a sheep, and it's fucking hilarious.
That's just been added to Netflix, doesn't it?
I know, that's what I watched it last night.
Netflix have a ridiculous concentration of fucking Woody Allen films.
There's a hell of a lot of Woody Allen on there.
I mean, like, fair enough, he's done.
I only spotted like four.
He's done about 60.
Purple Rose of Cairo, Hannah and Her Sisters, Manhattan.
Radio Days. Annie Hall, Bananas.
The sex one.
From Rome with Love.
Aye.
I think they had
From Paris with Love. That's a John Travolta film.
They have about 10 or 11 on there. They've got a good, I mean, well, Concerned a Man's got about fucking 60 films. Like, I mean, that's only a drop in the ocean, but continue on.
Yeah, I watched The Good Dinosaur, and I just wanted to bring it up because it came out last year, but it was actually supposed to come out the year before, but they pushed it back because they were having problems with the film. And you can feel that
dinosaur
with...
Dinosaur won't hire a pay cut. I make a fucking joke all the time. Every time that... go ahead.
You seem really ashamed by yourself.
I'm ashamed. Like, even though I got a laugh, it's like, Shane, come up with some new stuff. Like, you know.
Well, in episode 60 now. Like, you can't be repeating the same jokes. Like.
Look my dad.
I'm turning on the dad. I'm like 27. Jeez. And I have no wings.
You're the most dad person I ever know without wings.
Can't even do that, right?
Oh, you said that kind of like you're really down. I was like, can't even do that, right? Oh, fuck it up. Anyway, yeah, they had troubles with the film, and I felt like because I knew that I could feel it on the film because it's a really simple story. It's a really well, like, you've seen the story a million times, even like. The story essentially is Arlo is the main dinosaur that you're...
Oddly enough, this is fucking absolutely mental that you brought this up. Just talking about wings and stuff like that. I've always said that if I had a boy, I'd probably call it Arlo. I love that name.
Really?
That's so fucking weird.
I didn't realise that's a name.
I like the name Arlo. No, Arlo or Arlen. I like the name Arlen probably more. Arlen's
is
nice.
Is it Irish or is it fucking...
I think Arlen is Irish. Arlo's just... That's actually like a kind of hick name. It's like they would use it around... the old fucking, like, and you ever watch Justified? Running like Kentucky and shit like that. There are a lot of arrows around there.
I didn't realize it was like an actual name. I just thought it was like some weird dinosaur name.
Just
that came up
with the old Arlo Road from Stand By Me. Just that's all I'd be thinking about when I was calling me Wayne.
I love they call me Wayne Fresno Bob. Sorry, I watched Skip from the Art Journal with these boys, and that name pops up. And for whatever reason, we were watching it with a bunch of people who'd never seen Skip from the Art before. And like, obviously, there's not many laughs in there, but. Fresno Bob's not supposed to be funny. And I made six people laugh when he said, he's all, you know what they did to Fresno Bob? fuck. Poor Fresno Bob, hey, anyway.
But yeah, Arlo gets separated from his home, basically, and he's trying to get back. And that's it. And he does it with his human. But the way it works out, the way he's set up in this film is that dinosaurs didn't die from the meteor. The meteor didn't hit the Earth, so... Dinosaurs are kind of the prominent species, and then like humans are like dogs, basically.
Oh, fuck.
So sorry, Chan didn't actually happen. It's fine.
You have nightmares.
But no, so he's with this human who he starts calling Spot, but he is essentially a dog. Like he helps him find his way home by like sniffing, finding trails and shit like that. But so that's the story of it, and it's just a really simple story. And obviously, like you've seen it in. Because it made me think of The Secret Life of Pets, and then Heron pointed out, like, it's like Toy Story when I was talking about The Secret Life of Pets. Like, you've seen this story a bunch of times, and it's just weird that Pixar came out with a film like this. Mm. Like, because they're the
innovators.
Hey, well, they're, like, if you think of good animation, like, they're right up there in this... I don't know what I'm trying.
No, I know. I mean, like, in that sort of, but the kings that market,
the
like,
best.
You know what I mean? They're the best.
That's what I'm trying to do.
The best of what they do.
I shouldn't have done those three shots, man.
I read enough.
But even though you're going all about, they'll let you kick in. But it's kind of strange because one of the things that Pixar always sort of lauded for, not just obviously the amazing animation, but just how innovative and sort of. Unique their narratives are and how in depth they are, and that sounds like a really simple narrative for them. I know, like, I know, obviously with Cars 2 and Planes, they've kind of went by the wayside a bit.
Planes isn't them, it's Disney.
Is it? I'd never seen it.
It's Disney animated, it's their B team. Because it was supposed to be
like a Pixar B movie.
Because it was supposed to be like a straight to DVD thing, but then they decided they'd release it in these
things. Cashing as well because QRs are so fucking popular.
Aye. You know what I mean? Because the two cars, even though like people would say like they're some of the worst Pixar films, even though I liked the first one.
Loved the first one, but then I started gripping my brain because it was my brother's favourite film when he was three, and I think I've probably seen Cars more than any other film I've ever seen in my life. I think I've watched that film honestly about 60 times.
But do you know that's the biggest moneymaker for Pixar, like
merch wise?
The kids love Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen.
Check love him.
A sugar. What a guy. I mean, it's Michael Keaton as well. Check kick. It's Michael Keaton. Keaton's check kick.
Wait.
In Cars 2.
Who's Chick Hick?
Chick Hicks is like main rival, the green boy with the mustache, even though he's a car.
Alright. I was thinking of fucking Mater there.
Sure,
no.
He's in the second one as the... Oh, Michael Keaton? Alright, sorry.
Were you thinking Michael Caine? Because I was thinking Michael Caine.
He's Fun McMussell, guys.
You know too much about the car.
Honestly, do not believe how many times I've had to watch them.
But anyway, this is supposed to be a quick thing about The Good Dinosaur. It's a really simple narrative, but I still really liked it because the thing that goes throughout the whole film is that basically all the bad things happen to Arlo because he's afraid. Fear dominates his entire life, and the whole journey home is him tackling his fear. And I just really like that message because I think that's something I struggle with personally, but it's a nice message they have out there. But it's a shame that. It's a good film, but as I said last week, people say with Pixar, they're adult films that are kid friendly, but this feels just like a kid film.
Yeah, but it's trying to obviously teach kids like a good, just sort of moral message.
I still enjoyed it, but it's just a bit like it's not like mine, but like something like Inside Out, like that's
incredible,
and they actually came out in the same year because. Good Dinosaurs pushed back a year, and they have those two films come out in the same year, and just the quality disparity between them. There's another weird thing with it as well, is that the environments and the backgrounds and all, they're realistically animated, and it's nearly like the Jungle Book, like the new one that came out, like it really proper looks real.
But maybe I'm getting confused, but I remember seeing like some posters and like the trailer for The Good Dinosaur, but the dinosaur just looks like fucking Yoshi from Super Mario. Like.
Yeah, you see, really does, because like the first couple open scenes is just like landscape shots on it, and it looks beautiful, like it's visually amazing, and you see like water like running through your thing and all, and it just looks like an actual shot, it doesn't look animated.
Jesus.
And then just the dinosaur comes in, and it's actually jarring, because the dinosaur just looks like a Pixar animated dinosaur, you know, it looks cartoony.
Do you think it was probably because they just obviously, if it was the B unit, just doesn't have that, even though it's Disney, didn't have
weren't the B unit, it was Planes at Disney Animation.
You wonder why then? Because obviously, they would have had the money to do that, you know, full scoop.
Well, because from what I heard about the trouble, they changed a lot because John Lithgow was supposed to be doing a voice in this movie, and then they sacked him and got somebody else at it. There was cast changes, there were story changes, like it seemed like a complete overhaul.
If you could say to me an actor that you would literally be happy that's in every film that you've ever seen, it'd be John Lithgow.
John Lithgow's amazing.
I love John Lithgow. Anyway.
He's good in the fourth series of Dexter, Heron, just for you.
Just for you as well. So you put that performance on just for you.
So what did you watch last week?
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with it anyway. It's just No, I'm actually done with it. It was just I don't want to talk too much about it, even though it's gone on a bit now, but it's good, but it's a bit subpar, but there's a nice message in there, and the animation's weird.
Very watchable, you would say?
No.
No?
No, it is.
Alright. Does fit that criterion. This week I watched The Fundamentals of Kieran. Just been added this week, I think, the Netflix. Two seconds, they check the director's name again. Checked it at the start and forgot.
Circle on that on Netflix.
Directed by Rob Burnett.
I've seen it added to Netflix, and normally if something comes up on Netflix, I'd be like, check it out straight away. But this one, I was kind of like, seems like you need to be in for like an emotional kind of punch thing. You need to be like in the right mindset to kind of deal with it.
I was in the mood for it yesterday. But see, when I seen...
But is that correct? Like, you kind of need to prepare yourself a wee bit? Like, you can't just whack it on after if you're hungover.
There's some stuff on there that's pretty deep. 2 seconds. Because it's the young actor from Submarine. Christ, I mean, what's his name? Craig Roberts. So it's Paul Rudd, Craig Roberts, and...
BAFTA winning or BAFTA nominated? Something like that.
Craig Roberts. It might have been for Submarine, like best maybe newcomer.
It's said in the Netflix description. That's
there you go. It definitely was. But aye, Netflix original, only been released there a couple of days ago. And essentially what it's about is Paul Rudd has had like a sort of big tragedy in his life. His wife wants to divorce him. You don't find out why originally, straight away, why she wants to divorce him. And he used to be a writer, but he can't write anymore because of this big trauma that he's had. So he decides to do like a 6-week course in caregiving. Now, this is all explained the first 2 minutes. You don't see him go through it. You literally just see him when he's about to get his diploma after completing the 6 weeks. And then he goes for his first interview. They have his first client, who's Craig Roberts, who has like a muscular something. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but he's got like a really bad muscular disease, and he's only expected to live until he's like 25, 30.
Dysentery,
I think. Mm. No, is dysentery not...
That's
poison water and stuff like that, I think.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
Muscular dystrophy or something.
I cannot pronounce it properly, but it's a bad muscular disease, and I'm probably not doing it just probably, but insulting for me to say that. But
the kid's name's Craig Roberts.
Yeah.
Why do you call the black guy from like This Is the End and stuff?
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson. That's why I kept thinking. I was like, what?
I'm on it.
Paul Rudd Karen for him.
They completely different story.
We tiles and take your panties off.
All it is in, it's a wee 90-minute. It's just about the relationship that develops between Craig Roberts' character and Paul Rudd's character. Paul Rudd, because of the trauma that's happened to him, I don't really want to spoil it. You find out what it is 25 minutes in, but I think it gives there's a good punch in there. Yeah. But because of this trauma, he really wants to take Craig Roberts' character out of the house and let him see the world, because he notices after a couple weeks of caring for him that all he does is just sit and watch TV. And, you know, considering he's only expected to live until he's 25, 30... He wants him to get out and see the world because he's got such a short lifespan instead of just kind of talking about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Craig Roberts' character is an absolute cunt to start with because he has disease. He's just super cynical, but in a funny way, he plays it really, really perfectly. It's that sort of demeanor he had on Submarine. That sort of blank, dry as fuck demeanor. But he can come off as a wanker, but at the same time, he can tell that he's only joking. Right, the chemistry as well between him and Rudd is some of the best that I've seen in any film this year. So good, that kind of drives the film. Like,
that sounds cool, because do you mind that In-Betweeners episode where there's a kid in a wheelchair but he's just the biggest cunt?
Mm.
But they actually say the line, like, just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean you can be a dick or something like
that. It's actually really cool that you brought that up, because there's literally a conversation between him and Paul Rudd. Craig Roberts' character does something to Paul Rudd, kind of slagging him about the trauma that's happened to him, and Paul Rudd freaks out and he's like, you know what gives you the fucking right to talk to me like that? You know, just because you're in that wheelchair doesn't mean you can get away with it. And he says to him, he's all, oh, do you never actually think about the fact that if I wasn't in this wheelchair, maybe I'm just a dick anyway? You know what I mean?
Because
you know, just because he's in a wheelchair doesn't really say anything.
Because I've known people like that. No, but no, because right, it's because this is the thing.
You told me?
No.
I was going to crack and fall nothing. Follow me in my playlist.
Right, it's the disabled one. That's why you make the joke. No, because I've known it's people okay, like that has like some kind of like disability or like some physically that like impairs them or whatever. Mm. But they're a dick. And so if you have a joke at their expense in the sense of them being a dick, people get a bit kind of shifty. It's like, I'm not slagging him off because...
you're not slagging their disability.
I'm slagging him off because he's a fucking dick.
I remember there was a fella fucking died in a car accident when I was at school.
Is this a funny story?
No, but it's somebody about mixes. Okay. And everybody's like, oh, I got such a sandal. And then I remember Adam Karen turned around and said, why, he was a fucking cunt.
Jesus Christ.
And everybody's just all... What do you mean? He's just all, just because he's dead doesn't make him a fucking better person. Do you know what I mean? And, well, to be honest, I was like, fair enough.
I get where he's coming from. Probably not the best time to say it, though. Like, there's maybe tact with it, but I do give it your
definite. I know, because I think that sometimes, like, when, like, somebody famous...
Like Paisley, or something like that.
Aye, well, whatever.
Like Paisley.
And he was well good. Fucking bucket, anyway, come on.
Actually, let's just stop talking about it. I don't actually know what I was going to say, so...
We're going down a really dark fucking terracer.
I thought I was on the cusp, but we just saying the boy was a dick, like, but fuck.
He opened up a can of worms. Right? But anyway, they wrap up with the fundamentals of Karen. He wants to kind of take him on this road trip. They see all these, it's sort of the comedy with it is that a lot of the stuff he wants to see isn't like standard landmarks because they're in the middle. I think by the seems that they're in the middle of America and you're just surrounded by fields. They're in the Midwest and the shit that they're going to see is like really mundane landmarks, like the world's biggest cow and stuff like that there. But then
how big's that cow?
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's really funny because there's this whole thing where they go to the place where the world's biggest cow is and the boy's all, oh no, we actually keep Rufus, is the cow's name, we actually keep Rufus on the second floor, but they don't have like disabled access. And Paul Rudd fucking freaks out and he pretends they like phone like some disabled watchdog or something like that there. So then your man fucking freaks out and gets two of the boys, they lift your man's wheelchair up the stairs, but when they get up the cow's fucking dead. It's like a stuffed cow, it's not even a fucking live cow, you know what I mean? But they meet Selena Gomez's character in a way. She's like hitchhiking, she's just run away from her home. You finish like got a troubled past man and she's actually surprisingly good. I mean,
I was going to say, how is she?
She surprised me in Spring Breakers because I mean obviously you see the pop star and you kind of have a preconception, like, you know, when it comes to the art or acting, it's just like with the whole, what was it she done again? The Wizards of Waverly Place or some shit like that there. What was her first big show?
That one.
Anyway, she obviously she came to be
she's
known.
She's a Disney kid.
Aye, she came to be known as being a Disney kid. And when you see that, you're always going to have that prejudice. Like, aye, right, they're acting on a fucking stupid Disney show. Will they actually make it as an adult actress?
JT was a Disney kid as well, wasn't
he? Was, so was Ryan Gosling. You know what I mean?
Aye, well, they were the Mickey Mouse Club, but they didn't do, like, shows or anything.
No, they still the Mickey Mouse. Sure, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and shit like that, too.
Yeah.
But, she's brilliant. She's really, really good. I mean, I don't think her... Jesus Christ, not the toughest role that she's ever going to have. You know, it's not an awe-inspiring fucking performance, but what she has to do, she does it really well, and she's really natural. Like, there's some conversations between her and Craig Roberts, and just...
Oh, was the Wizards of Waverly Place?
There you go.
You're up on your...
Passing, I was a fucking Disney complete guess.
The one Disney show you know, no, apart from just, Hannah Montana.
I think, again, that's probably just going back to Jack watching shit like that with him, you know, maybe when he was a wee. But,
she's also in Barney.
They are. But, you said that like we'd be really impressed. She's also in Barney, you know.
I was impressed. She played BJ.
Well, you know.
She didn't actually. BJ was his friend.
She's really good. The fucking the sort of chemistry between them too is really good. Goes then they sort of, I think the finish, the climax of the film is pretty predictable. But I also think it's probably only gripe with the film is that knowing the trauma that Paul Rudd's characters went through and seeing this relationship build up and seeing the chemistry as well between the three leads in general, you know, even between Selena Gomez and Paul Rudd, just really, really well acted and really nuanced. I think that the sort of resolution for Paul Rudd's characters may be a wee bit over the top. It just seems like a wee bit too perfect a resolution. They might come feel good about himself again. At the same time, it still works. It still hits its target and does what it has to do, but I just think it's just a wee bit too, as I say, it's
super happy
too contrived. Not even a super happy and just too contrived for what happens to happen for him to kind of get on with his life again. But at the same time, I fucking really enjoyed it. It's got really good comedy moments, especially, as I said, between Craig Roberts and Paul Rudd. But it's not over-the-top comedy. It's just kind of like really normal, down-the-earth sort of humour that they just nail really, really well. I like the road trip element because, I don't know, I'm just kind of a sucker for like a road trip thing in a film.
I love a good road trip.
Selena Gomez, surprisingly, very, very good. Wee 90 Milliner, so obviously you can get it over and done with quick if you've got something else to do. And
fit it in between wanks.
And there's a good, like, really good dramatic beats. There's just actually one other thing. Just coupled with a comedy, just 2 seconds. Coupled with a comedy, there's really good dramatic beats. There's a scene with Paul Rudd, and it's an older girl that they pick up. It's a pregnant woman whose car's broke down, and she kind of serves a big purpose towards the end. But he has a conversation about the children and stuff like that and his life, and it's just really, really heartfelt. And it's actually the second time that I've been kind of taken back and really been engaged with a Paul Rudd dramatic moment. There's a moment as well in Perks of Being a Wallflower where he has a conversation.
Who's he in Perks of Being a Wallflower?
He's Logan Lerman's teacher. He's his English teacher.
Ah, shit, yeah.
He's only in it for about, like, collectively about 10 minutes, but he has a conversation with him too, and it's a wee song on tackling because he seems to be one of the few of those big comedy actors who hasn't dubbed his tone, the dramatic stuff, as often as maybe like a Will Ferrell or Jim Carrey or something, but he's fucking obviously very, very good with.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because I think Karen said before, like, you're not the biggest Paul Rudd fan because you feel like he's always just Paul Rudd in a film.
Yeah, he just looks like he looks like a man trying to act.
But you like this hairy?
I think dramatic wise in this, you don't have that Paul Rudd thing. It was actually
I'll correct that. Only in comedies, I think that, and dramas, because I love him in Set of Horse Rules and stuff like that. There and love him lots of things.
It's something that he just hasn't really tapped on as much. And I think what's up there? I'm like, you should probably look on it because
no, Paul, you have to do it.
See to be honest, Paul, right? Pack it on. Catch yourself on, like, but it was actually the only time that I seen the Paul Rudd comedy bit come out. It's literally for like a 2 second moment in the film where he's kind of slagging Craig Roberts in a diner, but then he goes back to actually being his character again, you know what I mean? But it was kind of cool seeing that bit of Paul Rudd come out, you know, even for that 2 seconds. I don't know, but I really good, really enjoyed it. I got a 9 out of 10, Mickey.
Oh, fuck.
It's up there, like 4 out of 5, I'd say.
That's a demotion. 4.5 out of 5.
That's 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 then. I'll give it 8 out of 10.
What? No.
Like, you can't do that.
No, that's cool. I was circling that film. I wasn't too sure if it would be good or not.
If you're doing fuck all night, which you probably are, I would...
I got plans, motherfucker.
What are you doing tonight?
Watch a film.
No, definitely give
it a
watch.
I'm going to cook a nice dinner beforehand. So
ooh, what are you making tonight?
I don't know.
Domino's? Pot noodle?
I may make a phone call to Domino's.
Treat yourself. But no, definitely watch it, because tonight they're Mandler, and it's one of those ones that, I don't know, I'm sure you're the same as well. If you're going to watch a film, like Lita, and I'm sure Jill has completely different sort of interest in films than what you do. I mean, the shit that I like, Lita wouldn't like a lot of it, like, but it's one of those films that'd be comfortable, like, watching with, because I know that both of us would enjoy it.
No, me and Jill just both really like the same stuff because we're just a really good couple and we just get on. And
obviously, my relationship shit.
No, I'm joking. No, I was trying to pick a film last night.
Break up with somebody over a podcast, no? I still don't listen, so you never get the message.
This could get the listeners shit and just fucking... You'd be all over Huffington Post and all. It'd be amazing. But
I'd be over that fucking floor. I'd be fucked that I'm on that probably.
I wish you could get Andy for talking about her too much in the podcast.
I haven't spoken about her in ages, but she doesn't listen anymore, so she wouldn't even know.
I know. After he...
Unless somebody touts at us.
There's some shit I had cut out 1 week. It was fucking brutal.
Wasn't that?
But, no, you know the thing kind of popped me off about that, not really popped me off, but it was just a bit of a weird one, that the font that the titles wrote down, it seems like Fault in Our Stars kind of font, and it's just like, are they trying to tap into that kind of
that's actually
vibe?
I didn't even, that's a really good observation, it actually is. But I mean, like, obviously
I've never seen Fault in Our Stars. I don't know if that's a good film.
Fault in Our Stars is good, but it's just a kind of your general weepy. But I can kind of see why they're trying to do it, because obviously it's about like young people being faced with adversity and young people being faced with, like, you know, severe life-threatening illnesses. Fuck, that's actually such a good observation. I never poke up on that.
I definitely
went to double as well. Because Fault in Our Stars done serious fucking numbers. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a very distinctive font as well.
I didn't catch on with you. Eagle-eyed breast on there. Fuck me.
Oh, I work at a graphic design place and he knows these things. You know?
Yeah, well, fuck, I true enough. I forgot about that. Can I do?
So Aaron, what did you watch this week?
I watched stacks of different things, but the main one that sort of, because I hadn't seen it in years, and it was a film I think I watched like religiously as a wane, just watched it all the fucking time, and I thought, I probably hadn't seen it in at least 15 years, and I flicked it on, was The Rocketeer. Did you ever see it?
You said this to me, all right. I've seen this as a Wayne, but can remember nothing about it.
I just remember
him standing on, like, the top of like a cliff site and then flying, but then crashing on this one. Does he also say to become the Rocketeer in it, doesn't he? What? To become the Rocketeer. He does say it.
No.
Or is that a parody that I've watched him?
No, you're thinking of that thing from Shawshank Redemption.
It's one of the funniest movies I've seen in my life. It's so fucking good. Like,
you want to explain this?
I Mikey, you explain it. But then
no, you explain it.
There used to be a video on YouTube and they've fucking taken it down and I'm raging because it's so good.
I'm convinced Shad made this up.
See, if I made this up, then I need to fucking make it and pull it up there now because it would be phenomenal. I asked Dan and they've all seen it, but for whatever reason, I cannot
fucking
find it.
I'm pretty sure you showed
it
to me one day. So.
You know the scene in Shawshank where Brooks gets out of prison? That's really fucking sad. And he's all, I'm too old for this place. And he's climbing up on the fucking table and he's about to punch his own ticket and stuff like that. He's all, I decided, and then I just coached it away, to become the Rocketeer. It's just the Rocketeer fucking going tee first on the mountain.
My knowledge of the Rocketeer is when I was playing the video game Broforce,
right,
where it has a bunch of like action people as like characters you can play, but it's all bro versions of their names, so it's like the Brominator, the Rambro, and stuff like that.
Robocop.
And there was also the Brocateer, I suppose it was. The Brocateer.
Call me out these days.
he was a pretty shit character, because you could basically double jump with him because he has the rockets, but then he wasn't that powerful shooting wise, so yeah. I didn't really like him all that much.
No one's going to play this game, Mickey.
It's a really good game. You should play it.
Let her speak.
Well, the whole premise of this.
What is the premise?
Pretty much this guy called Cliff Secord.
Cliff Secord?
He's like a kind of barnstormer pilot.
Does he not host American Idol?
Probably. But barnstormer
Cliff
pilot.
Cliff Secord sounds like a shopping center.
Cliff Secord. It's at a cliff edge next to a beach. Cliff Secord. But and also he's like this barnstormer pilot, and he's at the start he's doing like a show or whatever, this kind of thing, and then I think he's jumping onto his plane at one point, and I think whatever happens, whatever he sits on it, when he sits in the chair, obviously there's something under it, and he finds this rocket pack, I think he starts fucking around, mate, and this kind of thing. But then he ends up at one of these shows. One of the guys, like, I think he gets, I don't know, like he kind of takes a turn or whatever, and this kind of thing. And so his plane's about to go down. So Cliff puts a rocket pack on and decides to go and try and save him or whatever. And then obviously the media go mad and this kind of thing and all, and just they name him the Rocketeer and this kind of stuff and all. And I mean, it's not like. It's definitely kid friendly and adult friendly. I mean, it's kind of like Indiana Jones in lots of ways, but like it's quite tongue in cheek in a lot of it. Like Timothy Dalton plays this actor who's pretty much Errol Flynn, and
yes,
and as well as that, like, you know, there's a couple of twists in it and this kind of thing. I mean, it has all the things that Indiana Jones has, like, you know, Nazis, and it has gangsters, and it has the CIA, and it has fucking Howard Hughes in it, and it was it turns out that Howard Hughes designed this fucking rocket pack, and it's kind of hanging all.
Who plays Howard Hughes?
Leo, obviously.
Aye. Oh fuck! I can't mind about it. It's before the fucking Mad Days, obviously. Like. But there's a couple of things in it that I didn't see before when I was away. We're like fucking. They're about to arrest Cliff again. He runs out of this thing and just jumps onto this. Model of a plane and use it as a glider to get out, but it's actually a model of a spruce goose. and then just Howard Hughes comes out and he's all, by God, she will fly. That's class. There's stacks of things.
Howard Hughes just getting a wee cameo on there.
There's so many fucking brilliant
was
things.
Is it actual
Howard? I might have been out.
The fucking fingernails hanging off him just.
But like, it sort of takes it, and there's all these fucking jokes in it. Like, it shows you how the Hollywood. There's an explosion at the end, because it used to be Hollywood land, and it shows you how, like, the land got blown up in an action scene and all, so they write all these things on
the
story.
Was it the Rocketeer?
It wasn't the Rocketeer, no.
That's like that joke in BoJack Horseman, where they call Hollywood Hollywood, because he stole the D. <That's right. laughs> Just the whole second series, they call it Hollywood.
So, so well written, anyway. Thank you.
But, no, it's one of these films that just, like, there's... there's so many truths in it as well. Like, you know, like the gangsters and the FBI, they discover this sort of Nazi plot and this kind of thing. And it all just, and fucking, is it Paul Vino? You know, what do you call him? He's the head of the family in Goodfellas.
Oh, fuck, Paul Vino, was name. It? I think it might be Paul Vino. I'll check it out if you know.
But it's fucking brilliant and all. Like, they sort of form an alliance then because they have a common enemy, and Nazism and all. And there's like a class scene where the head FBI character and the head, you know, Paul Vino, whatever, are just fucking shooting off Tommy guns in the middle of this. All these Nazis, and they stop and just look at each other. And they just go back to shooting again and all there. And it's just really, like, it's really tongue in cheek, as I said. It's fucking
Paul Sorvino.
Paul Sorvino. Yeah.
Got him.
But
there's a Vino in there.
It's one of them films. It would have been like a big movie on Saturday on RT or something like that. There, it's just a brilliant sort of adventure film.
And when did it actually come out?
It was the 90s,
91. Doesn't do. I don't realize it was Disney.
It's Disney too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it was one of them things. If you check out trivia there, I think it was one of them kind of Sorcerer, Last Action Hero jobs just fell victim to coming out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because it's a really fucking good film. I'm always surprised how it didn't really do that well.
Do you think
really
cool they were trying to build the Mecha franchise out of it? Like, so they
I'd say
it. It's got a really cool Art Deco poster. It's cool, isn't it?
It's cool. It's brilliant. Because they show you a film really at the start, or towards the end, which shows what Hitler wanted to do with these rocket packs. He wanted to create a whole army of rocketeers. And all that's kind of hanging on, but it's like, because you know, see, it jokes nothing because Hitler, I think, was the first dictator to use film and use, you know, propaganda, like media as propaganda.
Yeah, and Riefenstahl and all that, correct?
Exactly.
Trying for the wool.
And it's just, it really shows that off too. It's a cartoon of his idea of how he wants the world to be. Mm. That's fucking, I remember he was on a wing just going, this is fucking terrifying looking. Because it shows, like, you know, fire in the cartoon and the sort of. The American eagle getting turned into the, you know, the Nazi eagle and this kind of thing and all through the fire and all, and just this whole it's fucking class. Like, it's not obviously too hard or anything like that there, but it's really fucking good. It's hard as you shows on this as well. As well as the Settler's idea and all, and we have to stop it and all, and it's fucking brilliant.
From what I'm reading here, just you saying like it might have been released the wrong time. It flopped completely at the box office. It was released at the same time as Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves and City Slickers, which done fucking massive amounts of money. Also, what's kind of interesting, I'm just reading here, is that it says that the Disney tag was also seen to have turned off people who assumed that the film was for children. In addition, the Rocketeer's original Art Deco poster, which we're just talking about, which we thought looked really cool, was changed because it failed to draw attention to the cast, including then-current James Bond, Timothy Dalton. Dalton, Billy Campbell, and Jennifer Connelly feature Dalton, Billy Campbell, and Jennifer Connelly prominently. And then it says it also failed in Britain. And then it also says up at the top that it was in development hell for years. Apparently, it started development in 1983.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? So it was 8 years trying to get it actually fucking made, which is disappointing now. Let's see what else is here.
It's even set around the same time as the original Indiana Jones and all too, you know. There's a while out of it. There's just some artists say the Indiana Jones, and I just think it's brilliant. Like, just give it a watch. Like, if you like sort of 40s, it sort of has that colour tone like Shawshank and stuff and all, and everything's kind of mahogany and it's got those old cars and all. And Nazism, Adventures, and fucking all that shit.
All that fun stuff.
Should have called it Nazi Adventures.
Nazi Rockets. Just Nazis with hard-ons on the front cover. And then I buy my rocket pack and they're all, hold on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Who the fuck's up?
Who's this fucking weird?
Hi. So Disney being on the poster made people think it was kids?
It has to be at first, eh? I think go back in the 90s.
Well, I suppose, probably talking about shit I don't really know, but like Disney, they put out kind of more, I'll say adult films, but they're not adult films, but they...
It's not for sure about it here.
But they have, like, other companies. Like, they had, like, Touchstone Pictures and all air kind of crack. Like,
yeah, Brookhammer produced a lot of Disney as well.
Yeah, but they never really have the Disney tag on it, do they?
Do you notice, so it's around that period?
Really, no.
Like, if you think of that, well... It's,
remember the Titans movie?
They obviously don't know what they want on TV. Just doesn't. I mean...
Aye, but when... That's not 90s,
it's 2001, like, I think.
No, that's Brookhammer too, yeah.
I mean, maybe they just don't know what they wanted it to be. I mean, maybe they were thinking, oh, would kids be interested in this?
Like a family adventure. Is that the kind of thing it is, basically?
It doesn't... I mean, there's a couple of deaths. Some of them are pretty fucking full on. I'd say it should be really about a 12. I guess it's more like Indiana Jones than...
Well, that intertextuality you're talking about, and then all this sort of fucking... breaking the fourth wall in ways, like, you know, Howard Hughes and all that crack, that would go fucking over Wayne's heads, like, you know what I mean? You didn't get that at all.
Actually, I didn't get it at all when I was younger. Who the fuck's this boy?
What the fuck's this boy playing? He's got, like, so maybe, I mean, they probably just don't know where they sell it. I mean, like, it was around that time. I mean, like, it's the same kind of reason, it's the very same reason why Last Action Hero failed. I mean, around that time, early 90s cinema, when it was starting to get a bit experimental again, and they were kind of playing with breaking the fourth wall and, you know, self-referentiality and stuff like that there. I don't think a lot of audiences weren't ready for it because in mainstream cinema that had never really been seen before, you know what I mean? So
I don't know if Rocketeer necessarily breaks the fourth wall. I mean, it's set, I mean, it kind of...
It has a wink and a nod.
Yeah.
It's a wink and a nod. It kind of, it's like a pulp kind of novel of the time and this kind of thing. And it's like, I mean, turning Howard Hughes into this guy that was, you know, involved in the war and all this kind of stuff and all, it's a bit of crack, like, cause
I know,
like,
it's funny that Howard Hughes seems to be like a prominent character.
Aye. Well, he has 4 or 5 scenes, don't like, you know, I'll what do you call him? What do you call him? He's the fucking dad in Edward Scissorhands.
Vincent Price?
No, that one of
them. Oh, the order.
Aye, it's Arno and Glengarry Glen Ross. He's in Argo. What do you call him?
Alan Arkin.
Aye, he's Alan in it Arkin. As well. He's like fucking Billy, like Rocketeers. He's like his sort of mentor, and he does it. Designs the fucking.
Sorry, I was trying to get Alan Arkin there.
I know, I got that.
Yeah, he's a barbecue kind of guy. That's what he says about the dad and Edward Scissorhands.
No, this isn't salty. I don't know why they're talking to me like this.
I always get confused with this. So, Alan Arkin isn't in the Ocean's films. No. It's the other guy that...
Elliot Gould?
There's a... The guy plays Saul. Aye, that's not Alan Arkin, but it always reminds me of Alan Arkin. No. Who's that?
I don't know. Is anybody
else? Somebody by just...
Somebody.
You want me to check?
No, I'll do it.
Some fool like.
But
some
no, do you...
fucking dickhead, did you say?
Some foggy.
Does he not remind you of Alan Arkin?
No, not really. No.
Who is Alan Arkin?
Alan Arkin's in so much. Law of Sunshine as well.
I know who he is. Jesus Christ, I'm a dick.
Is it me?
Do you actually want me?
He's the main character in Catch 22. You seen Catch 22? No.
Like, he's a fucking absolute sound. What are you going to say? Cozy as it?
Cozy fucking as it.
It's like a Disney or Marvel strap there, like I said, oh, go. No dice.
Jennifer Connelly's in it as well. It's just a shame. I really thought I was just going to hate it because I thought it was just too whiny, but really fucking enjoyable.
What was it on?
Sounds gay.
Carl Reiner. He's like Alan Arkin.
What else is Carl Reiner even on? No doubt. So many good films.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Okay, well, moving on.
Family Guy.
Oh, fuck.
Jake and the Pirates.
Jesus, Carol. Any chance?
Tom Green Live.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Carol. How the fuck did he get that role?
The Bernie Mac Show. I don't know. Alan Arkin wasn't available.
R.I.P. Bernie Mac.
I know, he seems to be... predominantly doing like
shit
TV stuff rather than Ally McBeal. How do we feel? I like that.
How do we feel about Ally McBeal?
How do we feel about Ally McBeal? I like Ally McBeal.
I don't mind. I like the Robert Downey Jr. years when he kind of weaned himself off a smack for a while, but then kind of relapsed.
He relapsed. He fired his ass.
Won a Golden Globe for that too.
What was it? They found him.
He was on Frasier.
Speeding down a motorway, naked, with a bag of ease.
He hasn't done that.
Sounds like a fucking Monday evening just for Rob.
Yeah, we're not shooting him off, yes.
To be honest, back in, it wouldn't fucking matter if he was shooting the next day. Like.
Nah.
I'm a bit easy to wise up if they tell him for it, like Jesus Christ. Okay, we shall move on to
I feel miserable.
I got a weeks. It's probably better if it just did it, if it just
when you get some better production values in this podcast, I feel.
I can do a water drop.
Go. That's pretty good, actually. Good echo off that, too. You've missed your
call,
man.
Just call me fucking Michael Winslow.
Johnny Waterdrops.
Johnny Waterdrops. I know, to be fair, it's the only sound effect I can do.
Johnny Waterdrops sounds like he's in a couple of lewd movies, in fairness. A couple of blues.
Blu-ray. Yeah, the topic this week, I wanted to just talk about...
Sex, baby. Let's talk about you. Sorry. Come
on. Well, I wanted to talk about money. Who's got it? Who wants it?
That's not fucking 70.0, you know.
I avoided the noise.
You get my head in front of them all.
Where's my fucking money? You can't.
Give my money.
No, it's because there's this phrase I heard before, and I think it actually kind of connected with me, that it's vote with your wallet. Which I think is a really nice phrase, and just it pretty much goes for everything in life that you pay for. Like, if you pay for something, that's telling someone somewhere that you want this thing, let's make more of it. And you know, so if you go to a cinema and pay for a ticket for something, like if you take the Transformers films, they're widely regarded as bad films, but they make serious money. Like, the last film made over $1 billion.
So widely regarded, is that because they are?
Aye, no, yeah.
I think the last two made over $1 billion.
Yeah, and no, because the last one is where
serious day affair.
No, but the last one is where I
get a cold shoulder.
The last one is where I signed off from Transformers because I really enjoyed
the. You don't. I fucking only made that second one.
No, because I enjoyed the first one, and like I grew up with the Transformers. Always liked the Transformers. I enjoyed the first one. Went to see the second one in the cinemas. Didn't really like it. Went to see the third one. It's better than the second one, but it's still not great. I've seen that in
some
cinema.
Great fucking sequences, that third one. Like.
Aye, there's more enjoyable stuff to kind of take from it in the third one than...
I don't know about the fucking Marines sliding down the side of the building and all that air and all, like, all that.
Well, like, even when they all just jump out in their wee fucking squirter suits, like, it's pretty good. Aye. But, anyway. But then the fourth one then, like, I'd seen the trailers for it, and I thought, like, the trailers are kind of cool, and, you know, they've kind of, it's like a soft reboot, you know, like, they have Mark Wahlberg and stuff on there who you enjoy. But just when it came out, it got bad reviews, and, like, I was planning on going to see it in the cinema, and I was just like, actually, no. I'm, like, because I had that phrase in my head, like, vote with your wallet. Like, if I go see this film, I'm supporting this film, and I don't want to support this film, because I want this film to do badly, so then they can readjust and get rid of Michael Bay. For, not that I think Michael Bay is a bad director, but I just think with this franchise, he doesn't care anymore. He's very by the numbers with this. Oh, now,
he just knows that he knows now that they're going to make money. I mean, just to kind of go back to what you're saying. I mean, we like a mammoth that's that big, like a fucking huge franchise. I don't really think that. I mean, okay, fair enough. If more people done it, yes, it would make a difference. But I think you. Can I not? It's just all enough going to that sound effect, you know, and it's just like it's a drop in the ocean, like, you know what I mean? Because it's fucking it really, because I mean,
but
it's serious numbers.
But it's more a personal thing for me that I know in my head I'm not supporting
it. It's a small victory for you.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. Like it's like our friend Dave, his dad, didn't pay for Sky because he hates Rupert Murdoch. And it's just like, when I first heard that, it's like, I just started laughing. He's like, what? He just want to give him money. He's like, that is actually brilliant. That is, it's really, you know, cool. It's a really, like, Rupert Murdoch doesn't give a fuck, like, but, you know, it's a small victory small for your dad.
And he's keeping it real, just like, shit, when you stay up there with this house and watch TV, but so I had sex channels.
I was really happy to see Tommy voting with your wallet. It was really, I went to see, I was talking about last week, the Nice Guys, and really happy to see it. There was like fucking 40 people in the theater. I was like, it's fucking brilliant. And it's been out for 4 weeks already, I think.
Because they were pushing for that a lot. Because I heard some interviews with Shane Black, like, kind of addressing that, saying, like, you know, we're not a franchise film. We're a small film. We need people to go out there. But, like, he actually started slagging off, like, superhero films. It was on Doug Loves Movies, the Doug Benson podcast. And then just Doug at the end of his all, Iron Man 3 director there, Shane. He's all, well, you know, I didn't mean it that way.
I think that's the side of the spectrum we should be talking about. Because when you're talking about these huge franchises, say, like a Transformers or a Harry Potter or Hunger Games or whatever, it might be a small victory if you don't want to see any more of them made, but, you know, they're just going to continue to succeed because so many people are investing in them, so many people love them. And
but,
as well,
but if more people realize that them going to see it is them basically greenlighting another
one. A lot of that for me, right, those free franchises we just talked about, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, and Transformers, they're predominantly aimed at children, really. So it wouldn't, I mean, like, a child's not going to have that sort of mentality where, you know what, fuck my guppy. I mean, a lot of the
I wouldn't say Hunger Games is children, is it?
Well, I mean, you would say, like,
YA.
I was chatting to my nephew, he's about 8 years old, and he's all like, fuck Michael Bay.
See a fucking a crane shot in that last film, you know?
Fuck him. He's only 8, like, he knows a
crane. He'd buy in that box of fucking Jennifer Lawrence.
But, in regards to, like, Transformers, I think that there's probably hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of parents out there who fucking despise Transformers and think they're awful films, but it keeps their children quiet for fucking two and a half going on, sometimes maybe 3 years now.
I think there's a specific kind of... I think there's a specific kind of just sect of people that they're going after, and the name of that people is bad parents.
Yeah, I'm personally impressed that nobody who's went to see the last Transformers have actually enjoyed them. I mean, it's just an easy way to get
you just
made.
You just have a lot of sad Chinese people, basically, because that's where it made most of its money.
Pacific Rim.
It was like Pacific Rim was exactly. Pacific Rim. That's what's sick, because Pacific Rim was a fucking dud until I went out there.
That's where it made a good lot of money, and that's why the second one's happening now.
And that's why they were witting as well with The Force Awakens. They see what sort of numbers are done in China. How did it end up doing in China?
It didn't do great in China.
That's so fucking weird.
No, because like in China, Star Wars isn't really a thing, partner.
But Transformers is.
Yeah.
What a world we love them.
What a world with it.
It's not that I give a fuck about it, like, but it's just mad.
This is why I'm not living in China. But yeah, as Sham was saying, like, yeah, you can talk about the big kind of blockbuster stuff, but I think where it does come into more meaning with the whole vote me your wallet thing is the indie stuff.
That's always about, that's the spectrum we should be looking at, because that's actually helping a film as opposed to
you going to see like a smaller film, like, I don't know, give me a small film.
Say Wonderspoon. Don't ask me why that's popping in my head, but
because we were talking with Jim.
More lately, actually. I'm boning. <So. laughs> Nah, we're gonna add Wonderspoon.
Yeah, like if you go to see that in the cinema, that's a way bigger boost for that film than not going to see a Transformers film. You know what I mean?
What's disappointing as well, just for our own sort of experience, is being in a city like Derry, which is like just about a city, very small, say about 120,000 people. We don't have an art house cinema, you know what I mean? So we don't really get the full spectrum. The odd time, obviously the bigger...
They can surprise you something.
I mean, like the Bowling cinema can't surprise you with the old film, which is great to see.
Taking an art house cinema, like.
Eh?
Nerve Centre's probably supposed to.
I suppose we're a cinema too, eh? We're a fucking art house cinema.
That's right, Debbie, you're on a phone call.
We're showing Neon Demon next week, are you on it? We're not, don't come. Oh, no, come, but we're not showing
the... We're showing The Wild, which is a fucking phenomenal picture.
Art house picture, one might say.
You may say that. Would Andy, you? Definitely.
I don't know.
I'd say it's the most Andy thing we've shown yet.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Okay.
Club McGee, I'm not an animus, they say there, but no.
No, I was thinking of something, but then I realised that I'm stupid and don't know things, so no, that's just left it. That's
grand. Continue on, though. What were you going to say?
But yeah, it's like, I think, video on demand stuff, like on Amazon, or there's this service like VFX or something. It's where I rented that Superman documentary, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened.
Was it good?
Such a mouthful.
I know, it's really such long.
Is it good?
And it's really good. It's really interesting. For most of it, it's basically like a making of Superman Lives. It just kind of goes into the concept art and all, but then eventually it goes into like why it was eventually not made.
Did Tim Burton actually want them to have a flying car?
No, they don't mention a flying car.
Somebody told me out there, I was all, fuck off. And they're all, seriously?
Some of the stuff, Mikey, on that podcast we reviewed it, though, some of the stuff you came out with fucking even surprised me.
I know, there's some bad ones in there. I mean, just Nicolas Cage dressed up as Clark Kent is just fucking hilarious. He's wearing like a Mickey Mouse t-shirt and a big glasses and then really long hair and like just like a blazer. It would have been an amazing film though, just to see, you know what I mean?
Just to see that car crash, right?
No, but like even like, you know,
it's the morbid curiosity of it.
Fucking Goodspeed and The Rock, like you could sort of see how you could be Clark Kent, like.
I don't know.
He's about a, you know, he's
well, about a, Cameron Poe, Con Air, that's the physique he had for Superman. That's the film he did right after.
He's not to be handsome, like.
It's not about looks, but Clark Kent has a very definable this, and it's supposed to be angler.
But
John,
no, but if
that.
You think what Clark Kent is supposed to be, he's supposed to be the opposite of Superman, so he doesn't get recognized.
Yeah, but that's always been the whole fucking... It's like the grandfather clause that never worked. Like, I mean, they literally just put a fucking pair of glasses
on. I know, but they were trying to do something a bit different way that make him look like a fucking weirdo, basically.
It's Nicolas Cage and he takes off his glasses, fucking Brandon Routh or something. Or fucking Henry Cable or whatever.
Or Cameron Poe.
Or Cameron Poe.
How do we start talking about... Okay, yeah. So, yeah. There's services like at Airway... You can like rent these like indie movies or smaller movies, but I think most people just feel like, I'm not paying fucking £3 to just watch a film and then that's it. Like I don't own it or anything, and then that's where you get into downloading all Air Canada crack.
Yeah,
but I don't like to like download those kind of things, and like I pay to watch Superman Lives and stuff. And like, I was talking to Heron, he seen Sing Street a while ago in the cinema. I didn't get a chance to see it, so I'm waiting for it where I can get it on Amazon or something to give money towards the film. Because if I know it's, but if everybody just downloaded that film and then paid for it, he wouldn't get another film made. You know what I mean? Well, he might do, you know, because of his career, but you know, in essence, that film would be a failure.
Yeah.
And it's just, if you're giving money towards it, you're supporting that, and you're essentially giving a vote of we want more of this. And I just think that's a thing that's kind of lost in some people, that they don't kind of make that connection. Like, oh, if I download this, like I'm not doing anything to them, but you're taking money away and support away from their next thing.
I think there's that sort of casual... it's a false understand, but it's that casual understand that, oh sure, fucking, you know, Hollywood's got stacks of money, sure, you know, what's me downloading, that's not going to take anything out of their pocket. But then obviously if there's so many people downloading, which there are so many people downloading, then that makes a big fucking dent, you know.
Hey,
right?
Download Transformers all you fuck want.
I don't know the fuck it out.
Kick ass torrents, Pirate Bay, whatever you want, you know, man. Get off.
Hey, what was the one fucking, who was it, Jay-Z was on?
Jay-Z
was it him? I think he posted a picture, about something politically, tweeted a picture of himself, but then somebody saw on the tabs that he had Pirate Bay.
Crafty fucker. Absolute billionaire too. Like.
He's got that fuck on him. Probably blamed on Beyonce, never mind.
Is there a reason for that divorce, like, you know what I mean?
Are they getting divorced?
I don't give a fuck, I don't know.
Are they?
No, I don't know. No,
what are you making shit up for? What you gotta do that to me? I'm going to see her in a couple of days.
Are you? She has
playing,
doesn't she?
I know, she's playing down Belfast.
So, I thought you were keeping that one under your hat.
I actually did buy a ticket for it, but it's because my sister wanted me to buy a ticket because there's only so many tickets she can buy.
Is she a single lady?
Well, no, the sister is buying it for her. She's the one marrying Ruben. Well, I suppose she is a single lady in the fact that Ruben is a made up character that we invented.
And your sister's in fact mental.
Yeah, she's mental. Well, she is mental.
She listens, Mickey.
I don't know. She said Primus, by the way, in answer to the previous.
In all fairness, everybody said Primus. Yeah. I think I just mispronounced it. And I have been mispronouncing it for years.
You'd have a long, hard life yourself, Shango.
You went home for a quiz now. Eh?
That's actually something happened. A cliche. Can't remember that one. A mugger of mine, no?
I know. I think he said on the podcast before you were in like a cliche. In light.
See, Colter, this guy came down with a menu and he's all, what the fuck's this here cliche?
I heard one before, and I actually thought about it today because I was walking through Marks and Spencer's, and they had a thing like a sign say like pointing all like lingerie this way. But I heard on a podcast one time like a boy had a mitts where he didn't know how to pronounce lingerie, so he's like, you know, the sexiest thing. A woman in lingerie.
Oh. It just gives it another sort of twist on the
lingerie.
Lingerie.
Which, in fairness, that's how it looks.
Lingerie, say.
So. Where's lingerie come from?
Lingerie, it's just a thong that turns on a pair of dungarees. It's got straps and everything. Uh-huh. Wee buckles.
But yeah, Hearn, do you have anything to say about voting with your wallet?
I don't know, as I says. I mean, what I see Sing Street. No, I think it's definitely... more important to go to the cinema and see Andy's. I mean, mm-hmm. there's lots of films that I was just waiting to buy a DVD or as you say, rent them or something like that. Or just wait till it comes on Sky or something. But I think it is. No, I definitely agree with the Footwear Wallet. Like, you know, and I'm really happy. And I was really happy to see a lot of people were at the Nice Guys. And I was happy to see because Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, when it came out, that was Shane Beck's kind of previous film, probably around about the same budget and similar type of film. And it was only in for like, I think it was on for 4 days or something. So I was really happy to see that it was actually still there.
I had like a similar sort of experience as well, where it does make you feel good. I remember when In Bruges was about to be released. I think me and the rest, I think most people I've ever met fucking love In Bruges, but when it was released, it was kind of low budget, Irish film, unknown director, Brendan Gleeson, sort of big. Colin Farrell was like the big star, but it seemed like one of the smaller films he was doing.
Well, see, Mark McDonough in the theatre circles was massive.
So he's big, he's big there, like, you know, for the, what do you call it, the Lieutenant of Vinishmore and stuff like that there. Those plays. But I never thought for a million years that, you know, it would have been a big hit or anything like that. And I remember going on its opening night just down to Strand Cinema, buying a ticket, two friends, and we assumed that we were going to be like maybe 10 in the cinema. And it was fucking rammed. Like, the whole cinema was rammed. Now, maybe you could point the fact that it is an Irish film and it, you know, it did have a good marketing campaign and it did look funny from the from the trailer. But because that then went on to be a fucking huge success and Martin McDonagh's went from strength to strength and it's now kind of seen as a modern classic, there's someone on me that you kind of feel like you helped it on its way, you know what I mean? Because you went to see
I was there.
But listen, I mean, you feel like you
you're one of them fucking cunts watched on film 4 2 weeks later.
But no, I definitely agree. I will say one thing. I think that it's too big a beast. Not too big a beast to try and stop, but I do think that it's almost unstoppable downloading. I think downloading is just too easy. I think that it's near enough impossible technology-wise for them to try and hinder it in any way.
I know. It's not so much
it's a moral saying... Decision,
yeah. No, it's not so much saying... Don't download stuff. We don't condone downloading.
It's a moral decision when you're trying to get a fucking a camel a new Transformers or something. Okay. You really have to think about
Transformers on five different computers.
No, but you know what it is actually. You know what it is actually. You know I've heard this like countless amounts of fucking times of people complaining that. Oh, it's just all fucking big blockbusters in the cinema. It's just all fucking comic book films and sequels and fucking bullshit and all this here.
Wizards.
And it's just like, can't move for wizards.
Wizards and fucking dinosaurs. Can't move them.
But you've heard that argument a thousand times. Like, it's all sequels. It's all just franchise shit, basically. And it's people complaining about the output of cinemas. But the only reason those are the biggest films is because they make the most money.
Yes.
And then if you have an indie film coming out that, all right, it might not be on in your local cinema or whatever, but it's going to be online somewhere. And maybe if you pay for that rather than downloading it, maybe that'll get a big, like, if that makes enough money, maybe the next one will be in cinemas.
It's making the effort too.
It's exactly like if you make that argument like it's all just big blockbuster bullshit, and then download a small indie film and they'll be like, oh, that's a class indie film, I should have got more. It's like, well, you haven't done anything to help it. You know what I mean? Like, if you make a conscious effort, I was like, okay, I'll give £3 or £4 to that air. I mean, and it's small things, but like, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to put your support where you want to put it. You know what I mean?
Biggest effort I ever put into going to see a film was I got the bus to Belfast, they watched The Master and came straight home again.
Nice one.
Okay.
Paul Thomas Anderson was lethal. I love that film. It's actually the first ever film that I recommended in this podcast.
I did a similar thing with the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
That's right. You know, watch that for coming.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I made, best thing was they were showing it here as well. Didn't realize.
I made an effort to go see. I dragged my fucking friends when I was in Amsterdam to go, because I wanted to see an old Amsterdam cinema because I heard they were fucking class.
Yeah.
Dragon Day, John Cassavetes film.
Nice
it
was, one.
I think it was Faces.
Nice
and,
one.
And it was fucking class. And then the fucking lights come on about halfway through the film. You're all, because we had a couple of cans on us. The fucking charades over that.
We're done here.
But what do you call it? Lights came on anyway, and then I just looked around, whatever, and all. And then the guy goes, "I smoke break." So this is just a normal thing in Amsterdam. You go for a smoke halfway through the film.
Excellent.
Or if you want another beer or whatever.
Can't smoke indoors in Amsterdam?
No, I don't think so.
Oh wait, no, you can smoke
cafes.
But there's a weird thing, like
certain pot. Bars you can.
No, there's a weird thing with pot there, that you can smoke pot indoors and you can smoke regular cigarettes outdoors, but you can't do the vice versa.
I think that's what it is.
Something like that, I don't
know. I don't think you're allowed to be just fucking blasting zoots out in the street, like, you know what I mean? I think you have to.
It needs to be like a cafe or whatever.
Smoking anywhere. Smoking a zoo if you want.
What was that? Where's that?
Berlin. You can smoke around.
So we were fucking walking about the zoo with beers. It just didn't feel right, but it was allowed. Like,
I know. I don't think it's allowed to give a drink to the elephant, though, but it seemed to want it. His trunk came right over. I just, you know, gave him.
It was gas one.
Poured somebody for his homies, like, you know what I mean?
Call Reese's Pieces on there, too.
But yeah, I think basically what we're saying with this topic is don't be a dick.
Yeah.
It's just ethics, really.
I know. Actually, now that you bring up ethics, I really love Frasier, the TV show. Big fan of it.
You used to have that box set all the series, didn't you?
Aye, until Sean Coyle stole it from me.
So I know you used to have it because I have it now.
I'm still holding your Angel DVD sausage.
I can keep that one. That was a favorite one as a Wayne. It's not really a fair barter now, like, is it? Frasier's a show for life, like.
It is a show for life.
I still have a wee deep love in there for Angel. Angel and Buffy. Yeah, they were seminal shows when I was growing up.
Who did you masturbate more, Dave? Angel or Buffy?
Probably Angel. David Boreanaz was my very favorite as a child.
A babe. But, yeah. Nah, no,
his fucking prance around is a fucking fool, not fucking...
Bones.
Fucking shite bones, eh?
Oh, I've never actually watched it.
Just wandering around like a wanker. Hey, I couldn't be bored.
Apparently it's fucking huge. I've never watched an episode, but apparently it's huge in America.
I know. Well, it's Sunday. It's like 11th or 12th
it's
season.
It's like Tango and Cash banter. In the midst of a CSA ripoff.
Because Castle just ended. I was a big fan of Castle.
Yeah. I never watched Castle. It's like Nathan Fillion, though.
It's that standard kind of cop buddy show, like procedural show. Yeah, but
is it buddy cop wronger?
No, cop buddy. That's what I meant. No, yeah, because it's different, because they're not all cops.
That's almost by John. I've never heard of him.
Anyway, man. Go ahead.
Castle's good in the sense that it's just so mad. Like, they do like an alien abduction episode, and it all makes sense.
Mm. Do you use as well? Did they not? It's the whole thing that all the fanboys were shitting themselves about that they don't have a Halloween episode, and he was like dressed as fucking the Firefly.
I know. I like, he comes out and what do you call him in fucking Firefly?
Captain, why can't even fucking mean his name?
I know his name.
Captain Rhodes. I don't know, I guess. 2 seconds, I'll check it out.
This is
Mal.
Is that right?
Aye, Mal.
It sounds right.
But anyway, I know, he comes out dressed in his whole Firefly gear, and he's all, I'm a space cowboy. And he's like, ah, cool. No, but there's actually so many like lines taken from Firefly that's in the show as well. Like, Mal Reynolds, there you go. No, but like,
Hoban Washburn. So that's Alan Tudyk's character.
But
River Thames.
There's so many lines serious taken from Firefly that's in Castle as well. Like, I was aiming for his head and stuff like that. Like, there's so many lines. There's videos on YouTube. You can just see all the Easter eggs from Firefly. I think that's why most people watch it. That's why I watch it. Plus, it's just a bit of crack with Nathan Fillion. Like.
So don't be a dick then.
I know. I was going to say something that was really good. It was going to be really good. It was going to be so good.
You're sort of fucking around talking about Castle.
It was Frasier.
Frasier, that's where we began.
No, in an episode of Frasier, he says about ethics or morals. He's talking about, he's saying ethics is what we do when no one else is looking. So it's your ethics or your morals, like, it doesn't matter, like, if you're just being nice to somebody because, like, people are watching. Or
it's
like,
not actually you.
Aye. It's what you actually genuinely believe in and what you do on your own that you, no one will know if you do it.
Yeah.
But you will know if you do it, and that's the ethics and morals of it all.
It's like stealing ham out of the fridge when you know it's not your ham. I do it all the fucking time.
It wasn't a Magnum, it was a Mars ice cream.
Or ripping off bits of cheese from the block and not telling anybody because you're not fucked. They actually slice it off with a knife. And leave it a big indent on it.
My dad
used to say, a good deed isn't a good deed if you tell anybody about it.
It's true. It's almost like a thing like from the Bible about charity. Like, you know, if you're charitable and then you have to, you go about telling people, like, oh, I lent him money or I done that, then as a charity, you're just trying to reflect the back on yourself, like, you know what I mean?
It's like
wanking your own dick.
Do you mind that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Ted Danson made him an anonymous donation? I'm doing anonymous inside quotation marks, an anonymous donation. And so, like, the wing is, like, named, like, anonymous donation or whatever. Like, he said nobody knows it was Ted Danson, but Ted Danson starts telling everybody it was him. And then Laurie's all like, you can't tell people. It's like, that's, like, everyone knows, kind of thing. And it's just that whole thing. Like, he thinks he's being really good and charitable, but he's actually just doing it just to back up his own name.
Yeah, of course. And I actually, after kind of sliding yourself, I'm glad that you went back to that Frasier point because it was a very nice way to wrap that up.
I know, I always thought it was a really nice, but like morals and ethics is what we do when no one is looking.
Yeah.
Because when nobody's looking, you can be a fucking scumbag. But yeah. I don't know where we ended up at.
I think that's the end. I think it's recommendation time, though.
Okay, let's move on to recommendations, motherfuckers. I have a recommendation.
Go.
Do you?
I do.
Jesus.
Would you like to see it?
I would love to hear it.
I would love to see it.
It's just short.
Reveal your recommendation. It's
buried in the...
Short now, give a man time.
It's buried in the bush.
It actually reminded me just... quickly about the fundamentals of Karen. There's a really funny line where he keeps trying to get Paul Rudd keeps trying to get Craig Roberts' character to eat Slim Jims because he's obsessed with Slim Jims, and Craig Roberts, being from the UK, he's never had one. And he's all, what would you guys say in the UK? Want a bite of a Slim Jim? Bite of the James. I kept saying it to myself yesterday. It's an absolute blinder.
bite of the James.
Anyway, continue on.
No, my recommendation this week is actually a short film that can be accessed on the YouTubes. It's called Verbatim.
Oh.
I believe you both have seen it.
I've been forced to watch this while it's blocked. Not forced, it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I haven't seen it.
No, well, you have, but you're probably blocked and don't remember.
I think we watched it together. Maybe just the...
I describe it, you don't remember. Okay, but I think it was the New York Times actually made this short film, and it's called Verbatim because... it takes, like, the... What would you call it? Like, the court fucking...
Stenographer? Like, their report?
Aye. Like, what... Aye. What do you call...
Just a court report? Like, the notes? Aye. The minutes? Whatever?
Aye. Well, it takes this whole court interaction word for word.
Transcription.
There you go.
That's the word.
Yeah. It takes the whole transcription of this legal dispute about a photocopier. And so it's word for word what was actually happened in the court, but then it's reenacted with actors and whatnot.
They make it not real life.
But it's really fucking funny. It's only about like 4 or 5 minutes, but just the actors that are in it, and one of the boys, he's the boy with the mustache from like Mr. Show and stuff.
He's excellent.
He's hilarious, and he's really good at being angry.
He's really good at being angry, but not kind of doing that Bill Hicks thing where you go over the top and you're not being funny anymore, you're shouting. Nah. You know what I mean? But, so I was just a wee dig at Bill Hicks there.
You hate Bill Hicks for me.
Getting digs on at dead people now as well.
Ethics is things you do. Oh, don't mind. So it's really funny, and it's just how this conversation goes just about what is a photocopier, essentially. It's really funny and hilarious, and everyone should watch it because it's on YouTube. So just YouTube verbatim, and you should get it. I think it was the New York Times or New York Post or something like that.
You would know better than me. Anyway, it's irrelevant. It's good fun.
New York-based
New York paper company.
But yeah, it's really funny. Check it out.
My recommendation is Coming Home, 1978, by Hal Ashby, who's a director we talked about many moons ago at the start of the podcast. One of my favourites.
Hal Ashby.
It's John Voight, Jane Fonda, and Bruce Dern. And basically all it is it's about a...
You know, a wee Bruce Dern buzz recently?
I noticed that myself. Like, so much stuff I've watched recently. Bruce Dern's on it. He's in The Driver, which I watched last week. He's in Silent Running. I've only recently watched fucking...
The space movie where that's he kills Silent Run. Oh, is that Silent Run? Like, right.
He's obviously in Coming Home. But in all fairness,
Nebraska
was,
as well.
Nebraska.
Was brought up a few weeks ago.
And we were talking as well a while back about The Hateful Eight, which is also one.
Hmm.
There it is.
Sorry, I mean dogs.
No, I think it's just because Jill went in there. It's just because Jill's in the torrent. She can't see her. It's all right.
It's okay.
Sorry, no, it's okay. Sure, I can just kind of continue on then. Sure, let's see. What was the last thing I said about
Bruce Dern?
I'll just talk about what the plot is. Essentially what the plot is, John Voight's character is just back from Vietnam. He's been paralyzed from the waist down, and he's really cold and embittered, and he's in this basically a vet hospital. You know what I mean? And Jane Fonda's husband, who is Bruce Dern, he's also out in Vietnam, but he's like in the higher levels. He's like a colonel or some shit like that, and he's all for the war, whereas John Voight's character is, you know, completely anti-war, and he doesn't understand why, you know, there's a really famous speech towards him where he doesn't understand why, you know, young people are being sent out there to be killed for no reason whatsoever. Jane Fonda, volunteers at the vet hospital where he's living, and they start a relationship, you know, behind sort of Bruce Dern's back, because it's seen that Bruce Dern's a wee bit unstable, and he's maybe starting to crack under the pressure and the horrors they see in Vietnam, and they have this relationship. He comes back, it becomes a sort of love triangle thing, and it's just brilliant. The whole thing about Hal Ashby's films is they always feel completely real, and Jane Fonda and John Voight were both that good, that they both won Best Actor, Best Actress at the Oscars. Bruce Dern, I actually think, is even better than the two of them, which is saying so, especially towards him when he becomes really, really fucking unhinged. Just brilliant. It's all about the interaction between those three characters. You know, plot wise, it's, you know, it's, you're kind of pretty standard coming back from war, trying to readjust they were, and trying to find love again. And it's also kind of basic love triangle wise, but it's all about the performances and the direction. And Ashby's Edlin still, which always has a good rhythm because he was first and foremost an editor. So there you go.
Jane Fonda's still a babe, isn't it?
She's really hot, though. And you know the best thing is,
still Fonda Jane. Yeah.
Hey,
it's not bad at
that
all.
That's classic.
That was good.
How did we never come up with
even that? You see, for a woman who's like 70 or whatever the fuck she is,
she's like 87.
No, she's like 78. I checked recently. No, she has about 78. Like, yeah. You see,
I checked recently.
She's fucking excellent.
She's in fucking so many good films, like
Clute as well, which Mickey always laughs at. Clute's so good. It's a fucking.
But Clute is a very funny name.
It is.
She's in They Shoot Horses, don't they, as well?
Also, oh, yeah, she's 78.
Do we ever talk about that?
No. Do you want to recommend it now?
No, I've got another one I watched recently.
Okay, are you finished?
Right, I'm done. That's all what they say, wouldn't they?
I know. Once she's just started, like, talking about how attractive the main female person is in a film, you're pretty much done.
I want to recommend a film. I think it's John Crowley. Was the director, Intermission,
mm-hmm.
Irish film, and fucking, I watched it there the other day, with Brogan, friend of ours, and
Colin Farrell plays a knacker in it.
He plays a fucking knacker.
He's basically just playing a knacker in every film with an accent. Like,
he's brilliant on it though. Like, it's even just from the opening scene, you kind of get the fucking sense of what they unfold. Like, and
did he do that when he was kind of on the rise, or did he shoot that before?
No,
that and then it kind of came out around.
Wonder Mission's 2003. He would have already broke Hollywood by this point. Like,
I know, but I'm wondering, did he shoot that kind of before that, and then it came out because he was kind of a big.
Well,
it's
not really a Colin Farrell vehicle at all.
Yeah. I know, but just his name attached to it, like, basically.
But all enough, they didn't really use it in the promotional stuff. Like, I mean, he was just because it has a big ensemble.
Yeah, isn't it? He's. I mean, I think this. I suppose the biggest Irish star is probably Colm Meaney, like.
Yeah.
But you have fucking everybody in it. I mean, you've Colm Meaney, Colin Farrell. You have fucking, I forget his name. He was in the yard. He's the boy who comes to shoot Jerry Boyle at the end. He's in fucking
Liam Cunningham.
No, not him. He's the other one, the one with the blonde hair. He's in Stacks. Irish.
He always kind of plays a psychopath too.
He's sort of. Like, he's in fucking so many films. Can you find his name for me?
Yeah.
But he's brilliant. He's a brilliant fucking shadow dancer, if you've ever seen that there.
What do you call him?
Aye.
From Children of Men.
Clive Warren.
Clive
Warren. If you're listening, Kurt Pocklington's. He's just all, if I was making this film, I would cast Clive Warren.
Who the fuck is Clive Warren?
Your Ricky Gervais is a lot better than your Carl Pocklington.
I wasn't really trying to make you out, like.
Yeah. You got Ricky done.
But what was it anyway? I know, Intermission. It's just a sort of it's a big ensemble Irish cast. You actually have Kelly MacDonald in it as well. I mean, she's Scottish, obviously, but she's in it. And Mona Myrtle's in it as well. She plays a sister. Kelly Murphy's in it.
Yep. It's a who's who, a fucking Irish talent.
It really is, like.
A creme de creme, but.
Calm and he's fucking brilliant, on not he?
Do you see that took a hand, that Waterford Whispers article the other day.
David Wilmot?
Shows.
David Wilmot, I think I was right there.
That guy.
David Wilmot.
Do you see that Waterford Whispers article the other day, though? It was about Colm Meaney. It was obviously a tick the hand article, and it was all Nation Unites to vote Colm Meaney as the nation's dad.
He's fucking great, isn't he? But it's like, do you know what's really funny the whole way through the film? There's like, they're taking the fucking hand out of Americanisms all the time. You know, like, what was your boys all, as they say in the States, I will fucking kick you out. Or what does he say?
It seems kick to be like
ass or something like that there, or he's a couple of, but he says, as they say in the States a few times.
Do you not think that's a wrong theme through, like, kind of recent, well, definitely Irish comedies, because they do it in fucking Ambrosial Lad, they do it in the Guard a lot, you know what I mean?
Aye. And even Colm Meaney has a sort of slight American accent when he's acting cool, like. It's fucking definitely.
Who was Intermission by, like, director?
John
writer?
Crowley, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what else he's done, actually. I must look him up, like, but it's a mixture of a crime story, a romance, and there's a documentarian on it as well. He's trying to make a film with Colm Meaney, and Colm Meaney's going to show him like the fucking Dublin underbelly of crime and all. It's all no better fucking guide, boy. It's fucking brilliant, eh? And it's just good crack. They see like all of them fucking really hand on some great performances, and fucking there's this whole fucking thing going through. You've seen it.
Nah, I've always kind of wanted to, but never ever.
The whole thing going through it, because they're like really fucking, you know, shite thieves, some of them. And the whole thing going through it, really, where they robbed the supermarket and all they could get was brown sauce.
I was literally going to ask you, have you ever tried it? Will you try it?
Will the fuck?
Try what?
No, because they start putting brown sauce and fucking everything. So we go to that bar and I get in a pint and he's like, could have a brown sauce sandwich, please. And he's just always all nice. I'll just lash it on, man. He just become, because they had to get rid of it, they couldn't sell it, they couldn't do anything, so they started using brown sauce for
the
everything.
The best ones when they start putting brown sauce in
their tea. I know, tea as well. And then fucking Colin Farrell's just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? And everyone on, he says, I'll try it, man, it's fucking lovely. Delicious, man. And everyone Colin Farrell's just always all, he's like, give me that. Whatever. Puts it out, he stirs it around, he's all, that's fucking lovely, man. Fucking delish, man. Oh, they're all like, he's sort of knows the Amazon, he's all fucking hell, those buttons are cracked. Like, I'm fucking hanging myself laughing. Like, there's so many really funny bits in it, like, and there's so many great lines in it. But I mean, at the end, because it is this big ensemble piece, and about how everything was interlinked a wee bit, that's not as well kind of achieved. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a cross-cut between the three stories. They do it a few times through it. You know, like not a montage, but you know what I mean? And they're showing them like 20-second sections of each story.
Yep.
They build up tension and stuff and all. Yeah. It's all right. It's good, but just watch it for a laugh. If you like Irish films, you like the crack in them, it's definitely well worth
watching. If
you like a bit of crack. If you like a crack, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want a bit of crack, what?
Yeah. I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
Fucking Galway.
See, you dig her deep, you throw her well back, boy.
Our friggin' Scotland cracks in 1712.
Okay, we'll wrap it up there, folks. Thank you so much for listening. If you like to let us know who you think the nation's dad should be. My vote's for Brendan Gleeson.
Same here.
I was wondering, and fucking that phone's where the fuck's Brendan? Hey,
the Gleeson family, the ones that don't show up. Like,
yeah, I know. What's that too?
I'm blackballed. But yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Let's Talk More Movies Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Talk More Movies, or you can email us letstalkmoremovies@gmail.com. You can also leave us comments, reviews on iTunes, Acast, whatever podcast service you like. Shan is mouthing the words to me as I'm saying this because I say the same thing every week.
It's also a threat that I'm coming for your job, baby.
No, all right, no. Do you want to host the next episode? No, see what you do? I think you'll crash and burn.
I don't be bored anyway. It's too much because I just like kind of sitting and going silent for a while.
Yeah. Mike, it's going to be a fucking 86 and we'll have to fucking do it.
I have been your host, Michael Breslin. Shan calls me Shan Call.
Yeah.
Calm Harrison, calm Aaron. Episode
60, baby.
Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Let's try putting brown sauce in that Angel Ball next week now.
Brown sauce is the danger ball. Yeah,
chef's brown sauce.
Hey, time is bad. Daddy sauce just
leave it for about 6 months and it'll ferment and do something.
I know. Seriously, we will do it.
Let's definitely try it.
Aye. Yeah,
brown sauce tea next week.
Oh, fucking horse like brown sauce and they vodka or something.
I know. I'll drink brown sauce vodka before brown sauce tea.
Hmm.
I don't drink tea. I will do it.
We'll have a selection of brown sauce drinks.
Brown sauce cocktail. Brown tails.
Brown tails.
Brown Russians.
Brown cocks, obviously.
Brown cocks. Off the fucking part they met in San Diego, just. Or off they met in Americans. Hey, brown cocks, no.
Very quickly, my sister likes to shorten every word.
Oh, ever. I don't know where that was going.
My sister likes to shorten every word ever.
Could have went anywhere.
Could I?
So like, if
I was 50-50 for a while, like I was on the edge.
So like, if instead of like saying drinks, she would say all bevs and stuff. Like, instead of beverages, so
which is it?
Trish.
Oh, Trish, come on.
But she one time said instead of cocktails, oh, let's get some cocks, and she just immediately regretted it. Doesn't really work.
Ruben Fury is just, but he doesn't exist.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. Start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.